Rit Chana Bas Shalva should have a Refuah Shleima. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to finish off our discussion of tzedakah. Maybe next week we'll do something, maybe in honor of the upcoming Shavuos. Maybe we'll see. Possible, at least. So, yeah. So what we were discussing, we're finishing up discussing different aspects of tzedakah. We made a little bit of a mini project because of the Gemara's here in Bava Basra on originally Gimel and Dalet, and then on Chesumid Beis, and then on Daf Yud. So we've been discussing, you know, an interesting question, and that is to what extent tzedakah is, you know, a mitzvah, and, you know, even then, what kind of mitzvah? Or is it kind of like a chiyuv mamon? And, you know, how far do you push that idea as well in terms of, you know, different issues? So we began discussing the question of kfiya and the problem of matan skara b'teda and the different answers that Rishonim give to that. And I think we're going to end there also, you know, by the end of tonight with the psos. But who ends up saying something very similar to what I've been trying to say, but, you know, comes to it, you know, from a bit of a different, you know, origin point. So basically, you know, the issue of kfiya highlighted that. And then we talked about other issues along the way, the nature of the assay, the relationship between the assay and the lav, lo yeir levav chabasit chalo, the question of lishma. I think I mentioned, you know, some of the issues. You make a bracha on tzedakah. What about osik mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah? So there are numerous, you know, related questions. And I think I was at the point where I was trying to find patterns in the Rajba and Bali Tosis and the Ran. Right. So let's get back to the Rajba and Bali Tosis and the Ran just for a minute. And then we'll speak about what some of the poskim say. I mean, how it fits into all the different things we've been analyzing. So the issue of Tosis and the Rajba, first issue of Tosis and the Rajba that I wanted to talk about was, I spoke about last time, I'm just going to review that for a minute to get us back to where we were, and that is the stira between, the resolution of the apparent stira between two Gemaras in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Abdalad Amanath, again, you need two Marmakomos here. What is it, set 10 and 11 maybe, or is it 9 and 10? Ari, you're nodding, so you get to say 9 and 10 or 10 and 11?
It's 10 and 11.
10 and 11, you, yeah? Okay, I don't hear you, but...
10 and 11.
I know you so well, that I can, you know, between lip reading and you know, instinctive understanding what you might say, 10 and 11, right?
11? Now, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, 10 and 11, well, I'll try them out between the two.
Okay, good. So yeah, so back to 10 for a minute. So you see, Bavli Rosh Hashanah Dalet Amud Aleph. Here's where the Gemara includes tzedakah with I don't know 10 other categories. And the question is, when do you violate Baal Ta'acher? If you make a commitment to do any of these halachic obligations, you know, what is the time frame? You know, so again, just objectively, you know, it's an interesting question to think about. Like, you made a commitment, right? You didn't specify. Presumably, it's not indefinite. So between, you know, not being immediate and not being indefinite, like, what's the time frame? So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan Chai Adamim HaRachim HaKaramim HaKdeshos Chatos Hashem Osolos Shlamim Tzedakos, that's what we care about, U'maisros B'chor Maiser U'Pesach Leket Shikopeya. So that's quite a diverse group, by the way. I mean, all of these are obligations. Some of them are, you know, commitments that you make. You know, some of them are commitments that are imposed upon you by the Torah. In all cases, the question of timing is relevant. It's a little bit mechudash that the timing, you know, should be the same. You know, because once you start considering the different nature of the different chiyuvim, whether it's in broad categorical terms, like, you know, whether they're imposed by the Torah or they're things that you, you know, generate for yourself you know, but also more karbonos, more iser v'heter, more mamon, right? Even the difference between karbonos and arachin and charamim. Anyways, it's not so obvious that you would be dealing with the same kind of time frame, but the Gemara here says it, kivin she'avra aleihem gimel regalim over b'bal ta'acher, that you violate the iser b'bal ta'acher, which has a neder, you know, connotation. That aspect of your violation requires gimel regalim. And then there's a question what gimel regalim means, right? Rav Shimon Omar gimel regalim kesidron, v'chag ha'matzos tchila. So, you know, it could be anywhere between 3 and 5 regalim, actually, depending on, you know, when the commitment was initiated. So Rameir Omer, kivin she'avar aleihem regal echad over ba'al ta'acher. One regal, not three. So the connotation of three is like a year, basically. A year in regalim, which is also just not a year. Right? In other words, we could have conceived immediate, we could have thought of 3 days, 7 days, 30 days, you know, Yud Beis Chodesh. But here it goes by, number one, regalim, which is fascinating. A lot of these things are related to the Beis HaMikdash. Some of them are not. And the idea of regalim kesidron in particular, you know, implies like a year of and a year kesedron regalim. So that's just conceptually like interesting categories. But this is for Baal Ta'acher, which has a, you know, a neder kind of a connotation. Anyway, that's one Gemara. The second Gemara is the Gemara daf and a half later, also in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Bava Amud Aleph. There the Gemara speaks specifically about Nidrei Tzedakah and focusing on the word Beficha, Beficha, Zu Tzedakah. And Gemara says, Amar Rava, Tzedakah Mechayev Alala Alter, that the obligation to give Tzedakah, you know, in response to this commitment that you made is immediate. That's what Rava says. My Taima, the Gemara says, Da Taimi Aniyim, because the Aniyim are there. They're waiting. I think I mentioned last week, it reminds you a little bit of, you know, Enayim Shal Aniyim Suos, you know, Le Mikra Megillah, which the Gemara says in Megillah, that even though, you know, Su'uda and Mishloach Manos, you know, go on Yom Yedalid or Yom Tesvav Nekrach, and then even if you, you know, lay in the Megillah earlier, you know, in a kfar, you know, that you would, those other things would be on the actual, you know, day of Purim. But when it comes to Matanos Lavion, a neim shel aniyim nesuos mikra megal. So here also, it's like, hakaimi aniyim, they're waiting, you know. So the Gemara says, ma'od desei makivin debinyan of the karbanos ksiva, adavra la gimel regalim, ki karbano. You would think that you'd have a year, or gimel karbano, gimel, you know, gimel regalim. Kamash malan, hasam hu detalin rachmana beregalim, aval hachalo, dashkichi aniyim. Now, of course, in light of the Gemara, just a daf and a half earlier, that's exactly what the Gemara did say. It said you only violate Baal Ta'acher, right, after Gimel Regalim and maybe even Kassidra. So, obviously, there needs to be some sort of, you know, reconciliation, you know, between these two Gemaras. So, Tosis's reconciliation is Hoda Amar Rav LeKaman Utzdaka Mechayev LaAl. This is page 2 of the original Marmuk, the set 10. Hani Milu Dekayim Aniyim Avalo Mechayev LaDurei Basrayu Kozman Shelo Avru Gimel Regal. So Tosa says, if there are Aniyim and they have their hands out, meaning they're, you know, they're present, they have needs. I don't know if they actually have to be, you know, physically there. It's hard to know what Tosa means 100%. But the basic idea we understand, then it's LaAlter. And if not, then you don't have to mail the check right away. You know, you have Gimel Regalim before you violate, you know, Baal Ta'acher. Ode Parach Pshita, Umishani, Mao de Seim Ho Binyan of the Karbanos, Adavra lo Gimel Regalim ke Karbanos. Now it comes a little funny because we actually do say that. It says, Tosas Hainu Afila Hecha de Kaimianim. Right? We would have, meaning in Achanami, when it's low Kaimianim, it really is Gimel Regalim, it's Kaimianim. Then it's immediate. Vein lefarish odekamer over la'alter hainu ase, says Tosas. Tosas says, oh, you might have given a different answer, simpler answer in some respects, and that is that there are two dinim. There's a lav of lo sa'acher, you know, and it's not just, you know, the difference between an ase and a lav. Ase and a lav are like very different, you know, characteristics. and I'll say is a squandered, mostly a squandered opportunity. You know, you have an opportunity to do something good and you abstain or delay from doing it. And a lav implies that you have really, you know, been mevatel, that you have somehow, you know, negated or rejected, you know, this obligation. You violated something, even if it's a kumba ase in this particular case. So you might have thought that the ase is immediate. Kedash kumbakrini de beregel echad over ba'ase. When it comes to, you know, there is an ase that you violate after one regel. Imkein havel lemeimer adarva legim a regel echad rather kakor. But then we shouldn't have said la'alter. We should have said past the first regel. La'alter, therefore, is attributed to kaimyani. That is the view of Tosas. However, the Rajba, now we go to page one. We're going to come back to page two. We're going to come back to the Ran and the Darim in just a minute. But I just want to go back to the Rajba for a minute. The Rajba on page one in set 11, starting from the second word, quotes Tosas. I'm skipping to the third line. Rajba has questions against Tosas, many. That when we say that you have Gimel Regalim is the statute of limitations when it comes to Karbanos, right? When it comes to Karbanos, Hayinu Mishum D'lo Atchach Le'ad Gimel Regalim, right? That's assuming that what it means is that it's a burden. You know, you don't have the opportunity. So we don't make you, you know, expend the effort and the energy, you know, before Gimel Regalim. But what if it's sitting in your lap? What if it's right there? Can you just turn your back on the opportunity if access is not an issue? V'kim chakein ilu isu b'Yerushalayim v'afreshe l'korban yav rala l'alter d'koy mikdash or kai mikon v'kai mikon. This is a very fascinating Rajba. I mentioned it already last week, but meaning the Rajba is saying, listen, if kai mi aniyim is a factor in tzedakah, then kai mi mikdash, kai mi kohanim, Kaimi Karban should equally be a factor in discharging immediately your obligation when it comes to Karbanos. Is that really true? The answer is yes. If you think that the only factor, which is what the Rajba is assuming and also later explicating, is the factor of effort, you know, I mean, how much, you know, kumva se effort do we require, you know, in order to fulfill this? It's considered neglecting if it's all available. And it's considered neglecting only after a period of time, you know, if it's not available. You have a certain amount of time, you know, to put all this together. So basically, Tosas is assuming that the nature of the obligation of bringing a karban and the nature of the obligation of providing tzedakah l'aniyim, aniyim are to tzedakah, basically, what the presence of Kohanim, Mikdash, and Karbanos is to a Karba. Is that really true? So what I was suggesting last time was the Bali Tosas will answer and say, no, you completely misconstrued what we're saying. We weren't talking about, you know, how available or accessible, you know, with what ease you could potentially, you know, complete this obligation, and therefore the delay also constitutes kind of a rejection. That's not what we're saying. That's not what kaimyaniyim is. They're here, you can do it. Kaimyaniyim is the mechayik. I was suggesting that this is the pshat in the Rambam, that this is the pshat in the Ra'ah, meaning machsorim shalaniyim is the mechayik, meaning when the ani is there, so good, as a mitzvah, so say, as an obligation, you have gimel regalim, like any other gal, you know, maybe even kesidron, like a karban. But in terms of the demands and in terms of the monetary aspect, the responsibility aspect, not the mitzvah aspect, but the chiyuv aspect, that's what Kaimi Aniyim is all about. Is there a comparable example in that in Kaimi Amikdash, Kaimi Kohanim, Kaimi Karbanos? Not at all, right? They have nothing to do with each other. But the Rajba totally perceived tzedakah opposite of his colleague, you know, the Ra'ah. Both Talmidim of the Ramban, the two like main or most prominent Talmidim of the Ramban, the Rajba and the Ra'ah. And sometimes, as we know from Taurus Abayas and Bedek Abayas, you know, they just see it very differently, very differently. But Ode, the Kivin de Chayiv Ba'ase Beregal Echad, Biubasa Shama, Vevesa Shama, Bimela Lekum, Bibal Ta'acher, Dachibo Lahavio. The Mitzvah Sase, you know, should also trigger the lav. The Kimchu Mukhi Bakaku, Bali Rushalayim, Yavar, the Koi Mikdash Vikohanim. Bode Bakol Gimel Regalim Lichai Baal Ta'acher. So it says, I mean, Rajba says, well, what's this idea of Kasidron? Right? What's that based on? Amai Boy Rab Shimon Kasidron. Imishim Tircha Ha'Avru Gimel Regalim. And that I think is right. If it was a Tircha question, then who cares when you start? Why do you need Kasidron? Sometimes it's five Regalim, sometimes it's four Regalim, sometimes it's three. It should always be, if it's a question of, you know, you don't have the right to be so lackadaisical beyond a certain amount of time, that's a statute of limitations. You know, if it's about the ease of compliance, then it should be a set shear. Right? On the other hand, he's talking about regalim. That's where the Bali Tosis will differ. First, I'm not sure you need to say it is Xeris HaKasuv, but it's a very logical Xeris HaKasuv if this is a formal din, meaning if this is a din in access and, you know, laziness or diligence, you know, and so on, then what the Rajma is saying is doesn't make any sense. It's a time issue. Who cares how many regalim? For that matter, they could have just said you'd base chodesh, right? I could say, okay, Gimel regalim gives you three chances in some of the issues, but not in tzedakah, in karbanos, right? But if it's a formal din of what constitutes ichur, or ikium, and when does ichor and ikium? This is me speaking now. When does the ichor and the ikium turn into dechia and bittol? Right, a very very subtle, you know, change. One which is particularly subtle if we're talking about, you know, sheval tasa, not something that you actually violate, but a violation due to inaction or abstention. Right. So then, as we said before, there are different kinds of milestones, you know. So maybe it's like a year's worth of regalim, not three regalim, you know, a kisidron of regalim that always starts with Pesach. Right? So, but again, either way, I think he's total. What do you mean, mali karbanos, mali tzedakah? Yes, if it's only about, either access and ease or a formalistic definition of, again, the distinction between ichur and bitol, then mali tzedakah, mali karbanos. But if the mechayiv of tzedakah is hakayim yaniim, like the Rambam says in Perek Zayin, halacha beis, like the Ra'ah says about machzor shel aniim, like the Radvaz says about being a bachov, then you can't compare that to karbanos, right? But oh, dim isa that stuck ala alter ka'over ala b'bal ta'acherim came k'rol studying siv. Like, how are you going to read, you know, the pasuk referring to different things? Okay. Yeah. So what's the answer of the Rajba? So if you look not at the next paragraph, but the one after, the very, very long piece, this Rajba takes more than a page, you know, in copying. So you can imagine it's a mammoth, massive Rajba. Elam estabrili din olam gimel regalim lebal ta'acher gzeres hakasuv hi. Okay, again, I think I have an explanation for the gzeres hakasuv, but whatever. The ad she'yavru lav eina over. He also doesn't think it's a matter of access and ease. The Rajba thinks that it is a formal shiur, That's his way of saying it, right? V'ad sheyavru l'aveinu over afilu kaimi aniyim. It doesn't matter if they're aniyim, just like it doesn't matter if they're a kohanim or if he's in the mikdash or if there's a korban. Ease of implementation is irrelevant. It's a non-factor. V'koi mikdash v'koi kohanim v'hainu b'raisa. U'durav l'chai v'basei demotzos v'secha. The ka'omer m'chayib, skipping a few lines, m'chayib la'alter. Okay. So the Rajma basically, what emerges from the Rajma here? The Rajma does not at all acknowledge, even tolerate, let's say, the notion that tzedakah is anything other than a regular mitzvah, and therefore he compares it, mali, 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 to korbanos. On the other hand, Bali Tosas have a totally different world view. Okay, so now go back to the Ran and Adarim on page 2 of set 10. Is it still on page 2, actually, Ari? You can help me out here. Is the Ran and Adarim Zion of an Aleph still on page 2?
Page 2, line 31.
Probably in the bottom, right? Very bottom, yeah. Okay, line line 31. So this Ran and Nadarim, again, it's a little more complicated than I'm going to get into, but you know, in broad strokes, the Ran in Nadarim, the Gemara in Nadarim, Dav Zayin, speaks about, you know, Yesh Yad La Tzedakah, Yesh Yad La Nadarim. What happens if you use like language, which isn't fully expressive of the commitment you're trying to make, right? But, you know, mostly is understood, you know, to refer to that. What's the status of Yad? And part of that story is like, you know, if there's some room for doubt in terms of your intention, you know, what's going to be the din of Safek? Oh. So look at the Ran. Ran says, Le'inyan halacha, b'kiddushin akina l'chumra, yesh Yad. When there's a question about what a person meant when he was trying to be Mekadosh and Isha, we say, yesh Yad l'kiddushin, L'chumra. Even if he didn't fully explicate or articulate properly or fully what he meant, right, we're choshesh. The kiva de bayin layivshita, since it's an unresolved suffix or question in the Gemara, havale sveika daraisa l'chumra. Good. Then he says, ubepeya utzdaka. Ah. So peya, of course, is matnas aniyim, right? And tzedakah is tzedakah. Kosav Harajba Nami Dazina Lachumra. Rajba says when you have a suffix about whether or not you committed or how much you committed in tzedakah or in peyah, meaning matnas aniyim, so we apply the principle of sveika daraisa lachumra. Kiva de salka bateku. V'chein kosav haramban bil chosav debayon de tzedakah lo ifshita behedja. The sugin di esha the tzedakah the kaimulan nami the kol teiku di sura lechumra. Ma'ida amar the sugin yesha the tzedakah ainu mishum the kamrina nim tzim salamer yesha the tzedakah. He says v'ze efshar wal derech Rambam shekosei b'chol makom kim tzim salamer. There's the whole question when there's an imtim salamer in the Gemara, like methodologically, does that mean really we accept it, you know, or really we don't accept it, or it's a safek? Of a ma'ida kamer the kaimulan nami kol teiku di sura lechumra. Says the Ran, as for this comment of the Rajba, that in all these cases, including tzedakah and peyah, we apply the principle of sveika daraisa l'chumra, b'nira shehiskim gam kein lozeh ha-Rajba. B'tamani aleihem, shari sugim ufreshes, b'sof perak hazroav alechayim, shesafek mamon aniyim, are you safek mamon, dozinu bay l'kula l'nitva? Ah, meaning, there's another perspective. Instead of looking at Safek Tzedakah as Safek Mitzvah, right, which is Sveika Doraisa Bisura L'chora, maybe Safek Tzedakah is something about which you should say Dazinu L'kula L'nitva, meaning you should apply the equally famous principle of Amotzi B'chavera Olav Araya. Midamakshin and Hasama Masisa, the Gershin's Gaia, Vahoyle Parah, right? Nishketes, Tznan Safik Mamon Pater, Almasveka Lakula. Okay. So just go turn to the, you're probably already on page 3, right? Yeah. So go to the next line. Bimisa the Suffolk Moment Anim Avalis Sveka Darai Salam Lishnuri Haki. But oh, the Hassan Nam Yakshila Abaya Vare Isa, the Becheskas Ptura, Tanan Gershon Sky, Suffolk Chayim. Amalis Sveka, Suffolk Isura, Lachumra, Suffolk Mona Lakula. Bimisa the Suffolk Anim Mikri Suffolk Isura. Again, the details aren't important for now because we're not learning those sugyas. You can see what's going on here. The Rajba Paskin, like Yesh Yad LeTzedakah, like Yesh Yad LeKiddushin, should be Lechumra based on the principle of Sveika D'Oraisa Lechumra. And the Ran is saying, based on other evidence, that in his opinion, it's basically Suffolk whether or not the money goes to the Ani or remains with the Balabayas, with the Ashir. And instead of being Sveika D'Oraisa L'chumra, it's really Safek Mamon, Motzi Mechavera, Olivaraya, and it should be L'kula L'nitva, meaning that the owner should be able to hold on to what is his. Klomar, let's go another three, just skip another three lines. D'Leika, everybody have that? Sveika D'Oraisa Ela de Mamona. This is like five lines from the end. What line is it? Have it? Like five lines up from the end. Sveika D'Isura Ela Mamona. What is it?
I think it's 13, yeah, row 13.
The page 3, line 13. Ela de Mamona, Umamona, Motsu Mechara, Ela Varaya. Ela Maisa Sheni, Nefarshu, Venesku, Venichlu, Yerushalayim, Vimisa de Safek Aniim, Sveika D'Arais, Sveika D'Isura, Geicha de Kashale, Maisa Sheni, Tikshalayim, and Maisa Ani. Ela Vadai, Maisa Sheni is treated in a certain way. It's treated as Safek Matzuk Elevaraya. Elevadai Sveka de Mamon Aniyim Lo Mikri Sveka de Isura. Right? I mean, Safek Meiser Sheni is Safek Isur. Safek Meiser Ani is Sveka de Isura. It's not Sveka de Isura, sorry. Sveka de Mamona. Ula Kula. Lefikach Eni Mischaber Bidivrayim Bazet. So what emerges is a very interesting argument between the Rajba and the Ran. The Rajba says that Safek Tzedakah and Matnas Aniyim is Lechumra. And the Ran says Safek is Motzi Mechaver Levaraya. So is this Rajba related to that Rajba? Is it a coincidence that the Rajba in Rosh Hashanah, right, would not even acknowledge, right, the logic, the validity even, never mind the psak of the Balei Tosas and their resolution of the stira and the Gemara, because he thought that, you know, Kaimi Aniyim is no different than Kaimi Mizbeach, Kaimi Kohanim, and Kaimi Korban. Meaning that tzedakah is a mitzvah. And the same Rajba tells us that Sveika D'Oraisa, L'chumra applies, not Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya. This, of course, is the famous question, like, you know, the Achronim I'll ask. Whenever you have Motzim Bechmer Olav Araya, why do you always say Sveika D'Oraisa L'chumra? Because you're like a Safek Gazlan. That's an Iser L'sigzo. What are Geneva L'signovu? The answer, of course, is that, you know, there are these overlapping, you know, categories, and whether or not it's Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya or Safek Iser depends really which is the dominant one, right? Everybody agrees that Gzela, that a Gazlan is an Avera, right? But it starts off with violating my bailus. You know, he takes my money. You know, if it's clear that he's taking my money, then he's a Gazlan, and that's Lo Sigzo, right? But if Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya, If in Chosha Mishpat court, it's not clear that it's somebody else's money, then he's not keep, it's not Safek Gezel. Right? So what is it with tzedakah and with matnas? By the way, he certainly could be mechalek, and this is not for now, between different types of dinei tzedakah. Number one, nedarim. This is about yesh yad l'tzedakah. It's about nedarim, really. We've already seen, and we're going to see it again in the Ksos, And we're going to see it again, actually, in Kviya, generally, that the relationship between Nidrei Tzedaka b'fichazu Tzedaka and Tzedakah itself is a very interesting issue. We had it in Pidyon Shvuyim, we had it in a few other things. It's very interesting. Is it more of a, if you were the Rambam, would you classify these dinim in Hilchos Nedarim or in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim? That's kind of the question, to formalize it, right? So these are the big questions, right? How do you, so basically with the Rajba, you know, so far we have a pattern in the Rajba. He is taking, you know, the more difficult road in Rosh Hashanah by pretending, not pretending, by implying that Kaim Yanim is not a Mechayiv, Kaim Yanim is just a convenience, comparable to Kaim Mikdash, Kaim Kohen, and Kaim Korbanos. That is the perspective of someone who doesn't see the Aniyim as having rights. He sees that there's a mitzvah, a chova. So is it a coincidence that when it comes to even, you know, whether it's Nidrei Tzedaka or maybe Tzedaka itself, that he also may just see it almost exclusively as a mitzvah? I'm not 100% sure, but there are ways to get out of this, connection. But it's certainly logical to start thinking whether there's the pattern. So I'd like to point out another even stronger pattern in a way, and that is going back to Kviya itself. We discussed the question of Kviya, right, with respect to, you know, why is there Kviya at all? Matan Schar B'Tzeit, right? And that's where we started talking about this question. Is it Mammon? Is it Isur? Is it Mitzvah? So on. But the truth is that there is still a very interesting debate in the Rishonim about what we mean by, even if there is Kviya B'Tzedakah. I mean, it ends up as an argument whether there's Kviya B'Tzedakah at all, because first two deos in Tosas basically say that it's a misleading argument and there really is no Kviya B'Tzedakah. Most Rishonim think there is Kviya B'Tzedakah, and, you know, from there, you know, there becomes a big issue. But let's talk about this question. Is there Kviya B'Tzedakah? What is that? You know, if there is Kviya B'Tzedakah, does it also include what we call Nachtinan Lenichse? Can you actually confiscate, you know, money from him? Or does Kviya mean, like Kviya B'Mitzvah, that you just force him, you know, to comply? Maybe beyond verbally pressuring him. So this is a very interesting argument. And once again, the radical Shitos, in this case, are the Rajba and the Ran. The Rajba, as we'll see in a moment, is inclined to say that there's no kfiya even the fun of. That the only kfiya is, you know, to pressure him and to force him to give tzedakah, but you can never confiscate money from him. So look at the Rajba in Ksuvis. This is on in the set 11 of Mar Makomos. There should be a Rajba, one second, on page, page two, row 13. I'm sorry, I didn't catch all that. Is there on page two?
You see page two, row 13.
Line 13? No, it's got to be more than 13, no?
Oh, the second one. It wrote 20, ki hava asu lekame, Dereva?
Yeah.
That's the Gemara. Sorry, I saw the Gemara. Ki
hava asu. What is it?
The Gemara. It's row 20, line 20.
Okay, great. So again, the previous Gemara, like our Gemara, speaks about kfiya. So it looks at what the Rajba says. Ki hava asu lekame, Dereva, amalei nicha le demitzini banayach mitzdaka. Right, they're trying to get this guy to support his children. You know, he was like a deadbeat father. He didn't want to support his children. So they said to him, I mean, you want your children to be reliant upon tzedakah of the community, you know? And then the Gemara says, Lo amarin ela delo amid. Aval amid, forget about reasoning with him, right? But he doesn't have, you know, the means, he's not wealthy. Aval amid makfina le balkarcha. That's the Gemara. Then the Gemara tells a story about, again, Rava, the Akfe, the Rava Barnasan, or whatever it is, and so on. So now listen to what the Rajma says. Klomar, right? Midin staka. In other words, as we always point out, anybody who says klomar, it's already, you know, i.e., I mean, there's a certain, you know, intellectual pressure here by saying the word klomar, like what's going on. So he says, bal korcho midin staka. Miu, says the Rajba, this is the Chiddush, lo nachtin al nechse. You will never confiscate his property. Even Bafana, even while he's there, even if you can't get him to comply, you can, you know, force him, but you can't confiscate from him. Deheche delesa nami, right? Delo efshel mechve, and let's say he's not present. Let's say he's traveling or something like that. So all you can do is confiscate his property. You can't do it. Lo zanino hu labane minichse. And the result would be that his children would not be able to be supported, you know, from his own finances. Because this is a form of tzedakah, or this is the equivalent to tzedakah. This is before the gzeirah, that's about young children that people have to, parents have to be mefarnes. But so the Rajbas thinks it's pashut that there's no ability to confiscate property. And what does he say about, you know, Mimashkin and Alatzlaka Pilu Mer of Shabbat? I'm not sure how he interprets that, but Kidatanya Lel, Mishalach and Dina Sayam, they're conflicting Gemaras. The Ishta Tovas Mizonos, his wife is demanding, he's not there, he went traveling, no one's heard from him, he didn't leave any support, and she's demanding it. So Bez and Yordan and Chasav, his wife can force, you know, support through Parnasa. Avalo banav ubnosav the davar acher. Not his children, not the boys, not the girls. Velo davar, what's davar acher? Amar Rav Yosef, davar acher means zu tzedaka. V'chein kasav Rav Haigon b'tshuva. Rav Haigon says in a tshuva, same thing, that you, there's no confiscation of property when it comes to tzedaka. Then he adds, "Dafilo noder she'avral of gimel regalim, make him with the koy bebal ta'acher," referring to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that we just read. Right? I mean, he'll violate bal ta'acher. That doesn't mean you can confiscate, you know, and actually force him to give. Aval ein bezin yecholim lachufo v'lasos lo klum. V'hani miliktanim aval ktani ktanim. Zonu Mufarnis Balkarcha, Kurabin Bishili Perakafapi, Dora Shabula, Rava Pitka de Benesia, Avabisham, Enelam Zon Banu Bnosov Kishem Ktanim, Zonu Ktani Ktanim, Uparishna Ad Kama Ad Ben Sheshisa, Takanam. So what emerges from the Rajba? The Rajba is, together with, based on Rav Haigon, is the most liberal, I guess we would say, in he doesn't allow monetary confiscation for tzedakah. The Ran takes the opposite approach, almost opposite. He goes even further, let's see, than the Rambam, and certainly disagrees with the Raj. So look at the Ran. At what line is that, Ari?
It's line 29.
Thanks. Kosva Rajba, the Chiyomin and the Hekata Amid Kaifin and Hainem Bidin Sadaka. Kaifinan, yes, we're not sure what it means. But not monetary, not property confiscation. And if he's not present, they can't force him, pressure him. Right, Mishalach Medina Sayam, Mishal Tovasam Zonos Bezim Yordan Lachasov, Zonim Farnston Ishto. The whole bit. That's exactly what I said. I didn't translate it because we just read it. It's a faithful quote of the Rajba. Now the Ran is speaking, right? The Temani, He says, I find this astonishing. Hech kosav da filu b'di'isei lo natina l'nitzei. How could he write that even if he, meaning the person who's obligated to give, that even if he's present, right, you still can't confiscate, you can't be yored in a chasav b'di'eved as a last resort. How could the Rashba write that? So I mean, on the L, earlier, daf earlier, the Gemara says, a very important Gemara, Misha Nishtata, there are certainly basic Gemaras. I mean, our Gemara in Bava Basra is a basic Gemara. Gemara in Ksuvis about, Ishto, Bonav, Haktanim, which are compared to Tzedakah. Then there's another Gemara here, daf earlier, about a person who lost his competence. You know, Misha Nishtata, he became a Shota. So the Gemara there says, Bezdin Yordin L'Nechasav, Bezdin can confiscate his property. They can go into his property. The zonin and mafardis and ishto, and they can support his wife with that money. That's not a chiddush because that can be done even in regular. But the chiddush is the davar acher. Ah, the same davar acher. The Gemara says amrinam el dahainu tzedaka. So it sounds like even though the Gemara said earlier that you cannot give forced tzedaka from the chasim, which is the Rajba's proof text, the Gemara says for a shota, you could collect tzedakah. Vimisa, says the Ran, tafilu b'fanav lo naktina l'nichse b'shvil tzedakah, kol shekein shelo b'fanav. How can a shota, who has the legal status of shelo b'fanav, I mean, he might be physically present, but he's not legally, competent. Therefore, his presence is the equivalent of absence. So what the Ran is saying, very fascinating, is if you can collect, in the case of Shota, Shelo b'fanav, and Kol Shekein, right? Kol Shekein, you can collect b'fanav. Afal b'shiyotze Shelo l'das. Why can't you collect Shelo b'fanav in a regular case, which it sounds like the Ran's agreeing that you can't. He says, oh, that's because the guy goes on his own. So apparently he doesn't want to support. But a person who became a Shota, he didn't decide to become a Shota, that just came upon him. So it's very possible that, he would really, want you to take the support from his property. You're not going against his will. Lefikach nira vaday, says the Ran, shebishvil tzedaka yordin the nechasa b'fanav, v'chein kasa Rambam, perek zayin, nechus matm saniyim. We saw that Rambam, that's perek zayin alachiyun. The Rambam says explicitly that b'fanav, if you can't get satisfaction, you could confiscate his property. That's the shita of the Ran. Miu shelo b'fanav, efshar the biyotze, efshar. Notice the Ran says efshar, you're not sure. The biyotze ladas lo nachtin on the next day. Kedamin el gabi mishalach mdina sayama v'lo b'davar acher. So what emerges? According to the Rajba, lo nachtin on the next day afilu b'fanav. According to the Rambam, nachtin on the next day rak l'fanav. According to the Ran, certainly. Vadai nachtin on the next day b'fanav. Efshar nachtin on the next day shalom b'fanav. Certainly in the case of Shota, which is the equivalent of shalom b'fanav, nachtin on the next day shalom b'fanav. So you have a very interesting argument between the Ran and the Rajba, in which the Ran is expanding kfiya beyond the Ramba, maybe even, we'll see in a moment, and the Rajba is constricting kfiya. The chain, let's see another one. Masha kasav dafil no der shavu of gimel regala make him with the koi bebal ta'achar avalein bezin chayav and lachufa velasas lo klum lo dok. He says, and this idea that nidrei tzedakah, that even after gimel regalim there's no kfiya, he says that's a chiddush of the Rajba, which is wrong. Da amina berash shana, that's the whole point. It says viasisa azar lebezin shi ya asucha. That means kfiya. That's the whole point. Ubahu krak siv tzedaka. Kiloshina beficha zu tzedaka. So basically, there's a double argument, right? The Ran says that even after Gimel Regalim, there's no kfiya, even in Nidrei Tzedaka. Rajma says, for sure, Nidrei Tzedaka is kfiya. And there's going to be Nachtina Lefanav and Efshar even, you know, Shalom Lefanav, right? In Tzedaka. Benirali, Da'afa Pishen Kofin is Adam Lazim is Banav Mishesho Amala, Elehecha Da'amid. He says, and as for this, you know, obligation of Amid, Tzedakah, there's another, a third point of argument. The Ran says, the din that of Nishtata, right, which allows Yurida l'nechasav afilo shalom b'fanav, because legally it's shalom b'fanav, that is true, even if the shota is not a wealthy man. Afilu below Amid. So that is a point where the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that Misha Nishtata, the Gviya Shalom B'fanav is only Ba'amid. The Kiva Deruba De'inshi Nichalu Bahachi, this is the Ran speaking, since most people would want this, right? The Ze Lohayala Litzabos, he didn't have an opportunity. Rambam if a person is a shota, Aval below Amid, Shneim Shavim Vein Derech Zanacham B'Einai, says the Ran. So again, the Rambam holds that even Nishtata, where we're more expansive in confiscating his property for the sake of support, that's only B'Amid. And the Ran says even Shalom B'Amid. Okay? So the Ran goes further than the Rambam in at least two respects, maybe three. Number one, he considers the possibility of Yorid L'Nechasav Shalom B'Fanav in general. Number two, in the case of Nishtata, he says Yorid L'Nechasav Shalom B'Fanav Afilo La'amid, according to the Rambam, it's only Ba'amid. And number three is that in Nidrei Tzedakah, where you violate Baal Ta'acher, according to the Rajba, there is Yorid L'Nechasav. Okay. The Ran disagrees with the Rambam on Nishtata. Vein deres enochem b'enai demisa to be dina en yordel l'nichse amid shalom b'fanav. Right? Yordel l'nichse amid shalom b'fanav. B'mesh en b'kuy of gomor l'mitaris tzedaka l'm yordel l'chosav kishen Nishtata. Meaning if fundamentally you're not allowed to confiscate, then you shouldn't be able to confiscate the Nishtata either. If the whole point is that Nishtata, we don't know what he thinks, and we're assuming that he would prefer that there would be support, so what difference make whether he's wealthy or not wealthy? Notice he goes back to what he said Efshar before. He says, in light of this, maybe even somebody who's wealthy, there would be a ridol in a chasav, afilu shalom b'fanav. The chi amrina b'mishalach l'mdinas hayam, avalo banav ubnosav, haina b'lo amid, shena davar alav chov gamur. If he's not wealthy, can't afford it, then he doesn't have a chi of gamur. Okay. So basically, the Rajba is the most makel, whether it's Neder or Amid. There's no kfiya even b'fanav, The Rambam is in the middle. There is Kfiya and Nachtinan Bafanav and Shalom Bafanav in the Shtata Ba'amid. And the Ran is the most, the hawkish, most hawkish, the most expansive in allowing for Kfiya. And, you know, he says Efshar earlier, and then now he's saying the Ba'amid, even Shalom Bafanav, there might be Kfiya. And in the Shtata, you know, even Shalom Ba'amid, there would be Gviya. Not Kviya, that's not called Kviya, because we think that might be what he has in mind. So there are about three different issues in which there are views of the Rajba, the Rambam, and the Ran. The Rajba and the Ran emerge as representing two extremes. Is it a coincidence that the Rajba and the Ran, who, and when it comes to Kviya, represent these extremes, and we'll add, and the Rajba, in his discussion of Baal Ta'acher against the Baal Itosis, is consistent, again, with the view that tzedakah is a mitzvah, not so much a chiyu? Is it a coincidence that these two, the Ran and the Rajba, argue whether Safek Yad LeTzedakah is Motzi Mechaver Alav Araya? You treat it like Dinim Ominous, which is what the Ran was saying. Or you treat it like a mitzvah, like Isurim, Safek, you know, Daraisa L'chumra, which is the view of the Rajba. So we have three different, contexts in which the Rajba seems to present like a very consistent, you know, perspective that tzedakah, even though it takes the form of money, right, is treated mostly as Isur v'hetar mitzvah. I mean, if the Rajba, you know, were here and we asked him, you know, should tzedakah be in Hilchos, Malva Volova or Sefer Chosha Mishpat or in Yoredeya, my guess is that he'd be happy with it in Yoredeya, which is where it is. And the Rambam, you know, it's in Sefer Zeraim, you know, next to Matnas Aniyim, very different place. Anyways, okay. So having said that, if we look for a minute at the Shulchan Aruch, you see already that there is some ambiguity about this question of Nachtina Bafanov and Shalom Bafanov. We only have a couple of minutes left, so I'm just going to, I want to get to the Ksos. I also printed the Avnei Miluim, which has some interesting material, but we're not going to finish the whole Ksos, so that'll just be, you know, food for thought, I guess. So the it's interesting to note, just before we get to the some of the poskim, that in terms of the Rishonim, that the Hagos Maimunios, in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, quotes Maram Rutenberg as saying that there's a kind of shibud on mitzvos in general, including like the mitzvah, you know, lalamed or lahaskir malamed, you know, lebno. This is a very practical halach lamaisa issue, not for now, but you know, this question of, you know, can you confiscate for tzedakah? Can you confiscate for other mitzvos? And where do you draw the line? Obviously, it's a very practical issue, which has huge conceptual implications in terms of the nature of these mitzvos. So the Agos Maimunio says, Kos of Maram, everybody have that? What's it's on page 3. What's the line number? 25? I'm guessing.
Is 14.
Yeah, not even close, huh? Okay, so page 3, line 14. Kosav Maram, that's all. The kaifinan the lamdam oliskar lehem alamdin. But what's fascinating is the language. Demaishna hayase de vilimaratem osam, espenechem ishar ase de kaifinan the kayim, kmo ase de sukka, the kain lamandam a prias balchov mitzvah. Wow. Okay. So this is a very big chiddush of Ram Rutenberg. This isn't about tzedakah. This is a chiddush about mitzvos generally. And this is not necessarily like the typical view or the normative view. Maamar Rutenberg is of the opinion that when the Gemara says in Ksuvas that Kofen HaMitzvah Saseh, you know, Binyan Sukkah, Dalad Minim, that, you know, basically when it comes to every obligation, every mitzvah obligation, you turn into, turns into a chov, right? Havala Kishar Bal Chov. He compares it to Priyas Bal Chov mitzvah, meaning I lent you money. So if you hold Shibuta Doraisa, so then I owe you money, you know, straight. It's like, you know, nothing personal about it, nothing, you know, mitzvah oriented about it. It's quid pro quo. But if you, it's a tricky question. If you say Priyas Bal Chov mitzvah, right? So does that mean that it's like, you know, any mitzvah, or, you know, it's just not Shibud Gamor. There's a mitzvah component, but we also recognize that there's an aspect of, you know, quid pro quo, because this is purely monetary context. So it sounds like the Kiddush of the Maamar Rutenberg is that when the Gemara says Priyas Bal Chov mitzvah, he takes it completely literally. In other words, that we're really comparing like asiyas sukkah and you know, knias and asiyas, you know, mitzvahs dalad minim to piron achov. We'll see in a moment that the Ksos doesn't think of that. He quotes us Ram Rutenberg, but he's not so convinced, you know, of that absolute equation. Certainly logically, one would think that even if Priyas Bal Chov is a mitzvah, and even if Ketanim, let's say, are la b'nei mevid mitzvah ninu, so we mean it somewhat seriously, but still, whenever there is a mitzvah, it's more than a mitzvah, because it is a chov. And if that's the case, then what is the relationship between, I'm just trying to set it up here in terms of extremes, like what is the relationship between tzedakah, nidrei tzedakah, those are the ones in between for the moment, and like Priyas Bal Chov on one extreme, and let's say Asiyas Sukkah or you know, Lahaskir Malamed, you know, on the other extreme. Now, what I'm trying to say is, you know, there are mitzvahs that are pure mitzvahs, Ben Adam, you know, Lamakom, and they don't have a monetary component. They might have a monetary, you know, execution, but the obligation to, you know, to be Maskir Malamed is to make sure that the child, you know, learned. It's not financial. It's a financial consequence, you know, to a, you know, totally, you know, mitzvah oriented, you know, bin odom lamakom obligation. And that's an extreme. And same is true about binyan sukkah and knias lulav, you know, and so on. Right? But there are Priyas Bal Chov mitzvah is like the opposite extreme. Hanukkas Eved, you know, is closer to Priyas Bal Chov mitzvah. It's an it's a monetary obligation to the Eved, right? Where does tzedakah fit in, and where does nidrei tzedakah fit in on this spectrum? Right? I mean, it's not quid pro quo, you know, even not like Hanukkas, you know, Eved in a way. Because, you know, you owe him, he did good work for you, you know, and so on. At least there's a way to look at it that way. You know, unless you start formulating like the Ra'ah, you know, and the Radvaz, and so on, and saying, oh, you know, or my suggestion about Galgala Choser, you know, you don't owe anything to the Ani. You don't even know the Ani. You never met him, you know, conceivably. So, where does that stand? Where do these things? Or I'll give you another example, you know, in the spectrum. Pidgin HaBen. Right? Pidgin HaBen is a really interesting case because, again, it's mostly about a mitzvah, but the mitzvah, the content of the mitzvah, not just the implementation of the mitzvah, is mamon. So in the spectrum, right, Pidgin HaBen, The Gemara calls Pidgin HaBen and things like it. Erchin, another example. Right, you give me money to Hekdesh, but it's based on Erki Alai. Right. So these are called milva haksuva batorah. Right? Gemara discusses whether milva haksuva batorah is kemilva bishtar with regard to shibudim. No coincidence. It's because, again, in this range, right, these are mitzvos, but they're not just, you know, fulfilled or implemented, you know, in a monetary way, occasionally or even always. They're monetary mitzvos. They're you know, and then the question is, like, you know, how far do you go with it conceptually? Like, how do you really understand these mitzvos? Are they about the sinar? Are they about really, you know, the money itself, etc.
So,
what's that?
Zach.
Your water.
Zach is
Pennsylvania. Sounds like that's unintentional. Okay. So, so basically, once you have, you know, this spectrum, then the question also becomes, like, what about with regard to kfiyah?
That's where he lives.
Thus, Zach went to visit him.
With regard to kfiyah, there's a shaila, like, how far would you go? The more we're talking about something which is a chi of mammon, right, then the more, you know, we're going to justify an actual, you know, shibudim, an actual kfiyah gemut. Okay, having this in mind, let us look. I see we're not going to finish. We'll need another 5 minutes next time, but maybe I'll do something also in Shavuos. That's our next time.
Moshe Rasta went on.
Next time. Is that right?
It's Morty Dramline.
Okay. So let's look at the, just for a moment, I'm going to go back to,
works.
I'm going to have a little more time next week, just finish. I'll go back to Shulchan Aruch and the Shabbat.
Night?
And yeah. Meanwhile, let's just look for a moment. The at least raises these questions. This is on, for me, it's on page 5. Do you have an, I messed up a little bit in, you know, in the sheet here. It's at the end of, it says Ksosachosh, and then, like, towards the beginning of the paragraph, it says Simin Reish Tzadi Sif Katan Gimel. Everybody have that? Where is that? Is that on page 5 on the very bottom? The words Ksosachoshen, unfortunately, appears after Kishutin as the last words of the Avnei Miluim, which it shouldn't. But you'll use, what sticks out is Simin Reish Tzadi Sif Katan Gimel. Found it, Ari?
Yeah, I just found it. It's going to be page 5, row 30. Based in Poskel Apzaka, I'm Hari Arad.
Yeah, exactly. It's row 30?
Line 30? Line 30.
Okay. So this is the question. The Ksos discusses this question. Is there Kfiyah B'Tzaka? So he says, Bezen Poskel Apzaka. I'm just going to read for 2 minutes, just to show you the problem. And then he quotes our Gemaras that we've been discussing, not Bavasra, but Ksuvas. Perek Nara, Daf Mem Ches. Fine. Actually, you could skip. I'm going to come back to it next week when we finish this off. But, skip the first paragraph and go to Umi Divrei HaKesef Mishnah. Second paragraph. What's that? 40, 42? The second paragraph in the same piece. Right out this doesn't post good tzedakah. Then the next paragraph begins. A very long
next page.
Yeah. It's only on page 6.
Line 1.
Okay. 6, line 1. So mi divrei kesef mishnah she kasav de mamono shall adam shubit lasos men in tzedakah. Yurle desfirle jeshayach bit tzedakah din shibud kemo shar chovos. This is the pshat. We'll see it next week inside quickly. The kesef mishnah explains that in his view, the only reason why generally the Gemara in Ksuva seems to say that if it's Shalom Chanov, let's say the guy's traveling, right? That you're not allowed, it sounds like you're not allowed to collect tzedakah from his property. Why not? So again, remember, the Rajba was saying, even if he's standing right in front of you, you can't confiscate his property, because in the end of the day, it's more a mitzvah than a chiyuv. The Ran and the Rambam were saying, you know, b'fanav nachtina. Shalom b'fanav, Rambam was saying lo nachtina, and then Ran was saying efshar, and then he was saying, no, I think even more than efshar, imhu amid, and so on, correct? Yeah, good. So the Kesef Mishnah, like the Ran, but even further, the Kesef Mishnah says the following. He says, yeah, it's true the Gemara does seem to say that Misha Halach Medina Sayam, you can't collect his property. But not because there isn't the Shibud Nechasim, that's the most extreme. Meaning his obligation isn't personal, his obligation is financial. So if he has money, you can just raid his money. I mean, there's a hierarchy. You know, generally speaking, you can't grab somebody's Nechasim, Mishubadim, a lien or a mortgage, you know, until you first, Ajatavea, you know, lo, Rishon. First you have to, you know, try to get him to pay. Let him pay B'nai Chori. It's not fair to the Kuchos. It's not fair to the, you know, to the Lova. But, says the Kesef Mishnah, in principle, the concept of Chov and Shibudim applies to Tzedakah just as much as to Malva V'lova. Just as much as Priyas Balchov Mitzvah. Wow. So why not? But the Gemara says not. Says the Kesef Mishnah says a very simple svara, you know, if you buy it, and you know, why not? He says no, because if the guy voluntarily left town, you know, for all we know, he's giving his tzedakah elsewhere. How do we know he's not giving tzedakah in Chicago, right, or in Yerushalayim on the trip? If he's a shota, says the Kesef Mishnah. This is a great explanation why Shota, like what's the chiddush of Shota? How come Shota you can collect Shlomo Fana? So the Rishonim are all forced to say, you know, because if he leaves and doesn't make any proviso, you know, probably didn't care. But Shota, you know, he's a good guy. He just became incompetent. You know, he lost his capacity. You know, he's an umdana, he'd want you to do it. Kasamisa says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that if he's a shota, so he's not giving tzedakah elsewhere, he's incompetent. And really, you can be govem in a kasa mishubadim, kfiya. And listen to what he says. When we divrei kasa mishah shekasav, dimamon shalom mishubad lasas tzedakah, nira disfil and shayach bet tzedakah din shibud kamo shar chovos. Aval das aran, de bet tzedakah leisa mishum shibud nechasim, ayin sham nara, kasa b'shem arajba, etc. Now look at the next paragraph. This is page 6. And I'm sorry, not the next paragraph, but skip like 10 lines. The Ikala Medak. You got it? And we're going to end in like 2 more minutes. Everybody have the
Ikala Medak? Row 9-9 in the middle.
Really pushing you hard, Ari, tonight. But I know you're up to the challenge. Okay. The Ikala Medak. This is where the Ksos really, you know, crystallizes the problem, Kedarko. Right? Mimanafshach. In tzedakah hu b'toras kov, this is exactly what we're talking about, right? It's cutting through the whole thing. Then shayich be'shibun nechasam unkeina shalom b'fanav nami. V'imein ela mitzvah, b'fanav amayardim l'nechasam. Very simple, he says. Like, what's all this complexity about? You know, b'shtata, b'fanav, b'mashkenin, you know, matan zchor b'tzeim. Either but of course he's simplifying. The Ksos is saying there are two paradigms. There's a monetary paradigm, then it should be shibudim, afilu shelo b'fanav. Or it's not a chiyuv mamon, tzedakah, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah la gavra. Maybe in a mitzvah ben adam lamakom, or ben adam l'chaveru, but still it's a mitzvah. So then even b'fanav there should be no nechtin on it. It's nothing to do with this. The money is a means to how he fulfills the mitzvah. But no one has rights. You can't confiscate. You're not bailing on his mamon. He doesn't owe you money. He owes you to do the mitzvah. He owes himself to do the mitzvah. Right? Says the Raj, says the Ksos. Maybe there's a compromise, but his first view is really, really, it's a mitzvah. He doesn't quote here, in Simon Lamatasi quotes the language of the Ramban in the end of Bal Basra. Ramban is a beautiful language in the end of Bal Basra, where he says about Priyas Bachov Mitzvah, though. that mitoch shekofenoso, right, begufo, kofenoso bimomono. And it's, even once he said it, it's just like a terrific chap. You know, it's like a brilliant, you know, idea. And even then, you can argue. What is he saying? The Ramban was saying, if you hold Priyas Bal Chov mitzvah, so how can you be Yored Lefanov? How can you just take his money away, Befanov at least? He says, because the Gemara in Ksuva says that Kofen al mitzvah saseh. Kofen usually means physically, bodily, corporeal. I mean, you force him, right? You physically, you know, coerce it. So the Ramban said, okay, if you can physically coerce him, can't you monetarily coerce him? If you can physically coerce him, koshken, you can mitoch shekofenoso begufo kofenoso bimamono. It's a lever. What's not obvious about it is you could say, well, no, it's just a different tchum, and it violates gezel, and it's just if something's a monetary obligation, if it's not a monetary obligation, and he doesn't want to use it, he can't. Physically, you can force it. Logically, what Ramban says is terrific. I mean, it's a very philosophical kind of a question, whether you say mitoch shekofenoso begufo kofenoso bimamono, right? From a pure logic point of view, of course it's true. But remember what you know, the chalavavcha b'chol nashcha b'chol miyodecha, you know, yesh adam she mamono chalavivale migufo, yesh adam she gufo chalavivale mimamono, you know. So that's already just a little bit of insanity, although it's true. But from a conceptual point of view, you'd say, well, just because he is in violation and you can force him, doesn't mean you can be a Goslin. I mean, I'm not talking about individuals, but right. But that's so the Ksos initially builds. What is this compromise shita that most Rishonim hold by? The Rambam, the Ran for sure. Namely, that there's no kfiya shelo b'fanav, there's no shibudim, but there is nachtina l'nechse b'fanav. So that's the Ksos's idea. Based on the Ramban, no, it's a din kfiya b'mitzvos. It's an expanded kfiya b'mitzvos, right? Mitoch shekofen, begufo kofen b'mamon. However, as the psos goes on and goes back to the Kasev Mishnah and then goes mamunios, he becomes more and more convinced that really the Kasev Mishnah is right, and that really, really, you know, the Ran's impulse is right, and that is that tzedakah is more, that either all mitzvos are subject to monetary gviya and kviya, or even if not, that the mitzvos that are monetary mitzvos, like pidyon haben, like kanik tanik, like tzedakah, and then he's mistapek. And what about nidrei tzedakah? Is that about bal yachel, or is it about beficha zu tzedakah, and it's really about tzedakah? Same issue that we saw, you know, in the Ra'ah, and earlier, a couple weeks before in Pidyon HaBen, right? What is the status of Nidrei Tzedakah? So the Ksos ends up very much sympathetic to the view that, you know, either all mitzvos, but especially monetary mitzvos, and especially monetary mitzvos like Tzedakah, really are, in addition to being mitzvos, chiyuvim, chovos. And then finally in the end, I'll try to read this next time, he says, oh, and that with that, we can answer Tosa's question of Matan Zchor B'Tzeda. I think that's what the Ra'ah was did from the beginning. And I think that's what the Re meant with his lav. And the Ksos practically says it in the end, but he doesn't say it exactly the way we said it, but it dovetails. Okay, so we'll stop here. I want to finish this off a little bit just to discuss the postgame and the Ksos and the Avne Miluim next time. And then we'll do something on Inyane Shavua. See, there's something on Sirius Omer or maybe on the Korban. Omer and Shtei Alechem, or something brief, because it doesn't pay to start a new topic. Because I think we miss the next one. We miss Monday, yeah, right. And then we'll, you know, from there we'll see, you know, how much time we have. I'm trying to get at least one more big topic before we adjourn. Okay. I think I have to send in
a few recording spots.
What's that?
A
think we are a few recordings behind.
Okay, so I'll, yeah, my fault. I'll try to send them in even tonight or tomorrow. Okay, thank you all and have a great week.